From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Successful Christian Living, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 9. God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Anger is not always or necessarily sinful, but it has such a tendency to run wild that whenever it displays itself, we should be quick to question its character with this inquiry, "Doest thou well to be angry?" It may be that we can answer yes. Very frequently, anger is the madman's firebrand, but sometimes it is Elijah's fire from heaven. We do well when we are angry with sin, because of the wrong which it commits against our good and gracious God, or with ourselves because we remain so foolish after so much divine instruction, or with others when the sole cause of anger is the evil which they do. He who is not angry at transgression becomes a partaker in it. Sin is a loathsome and hateful thing, and no renewed heart can patiently endure it. God Himself is angry with the wicked every day, and it is written in His Word, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Far more frequently it is to be feared that our anger is not commendable, or even justifiable, and then we must answer, "No." Why should we be fretful with children, passionate with servants, and wrathful with companions? Is such anger honorable to our Christian profession or glorifying to God? Is it not the old evil heart seeking to gain dominion? And should we not resist it with all the might of our newborn nature? Many professors give way to temper as though it were useless to attempt resistance. But let the believer remember that he must be a conqueror in every point, or else he cannot be crowned. If we cannot control our tempers, what has grace done for us? Someone told Mr. J. that grace was often grafted on a crab stump. "Yes," said he, "but the fruit will not be crabs." We must not make natural infirmity an excuse for sin, but we must fly to the cross and pray the Lord to crucify our tempers and renew us in gentleness and meekness after His own image.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, we find God's definition for success. The text says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Knowing God is real success and prosperity. We've seen the importance of being in the center of God's will. Then God had already promised the land, but it was up to Joshua and the army of Israel to possess it. The context tells us that Joshua was alone when the Lord came to him. We see here the absolute necessity for God's people to get alone with Him and to learn on their knees the power and majesty of God. Furthermore, Joshua learned that he had to fight the Lord's battles in the Lord's way. Although Israel was victorious at Jericho, they suffered defeat at Ai because of resorting to their own way instead of God's. Any endeavor for God must be biblical if it is to be successful. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Successful Christian Living.
We have to learn to fight the Lord's battles, fight the good fight, as Paul says. But we have to learn to fight the Lord's battles in the Lord's way. He says in Isaiah 55 that your ways are not mine and mine are not yours. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, my thoughts are higher than yours and my ways are higher than yours. So we better learn to do God's work in God's way. If people would remember that, half the junk, well, I would say all the junk that has been imported into the church as little methods of success would never have gained an entrance. Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life in order that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's success. Live so as to please the one who called you to be a soldier. And if you strive for masteries, strive lawfully. There's another facet of successful living, and this touches every one of us, and that is learning from failure and removing especially the sin that caused it. Joshua succeeded at Jericho. An amazing victory. An amazing victory. Just up the road, there's this little glorified village. Just a little town. Having defeated Jericho, anybody can win the battle of Ai. Well, he sent out his men, and they were routed. Joshua falls before the Lord, and he laments, Lord, we've been routed. The heathen are going to laugh. What will we say when Israel turns its back on its enemies? The promise of God is of none effect. The covenant has been broken. The promised possession is not now going to be ours. Lord, it's all a great fiasco and a great failure. I'm here to pray about it. God says to Joshua, get up from off your face. This is not the time to pray. The time to pray was before you went. You didn't do it. You failed. Not only Achan failed, Joshua failed through prayerlessness. Joshua failed through presumption. And if he had gone before God, he'd have known not to go to Ai until Achan had been dealt with. So Joshua failed at Ai, and he couldn't have success until he obeyed God and dealt with sin. Listen, it would be lovely if we never failed. But we do fail. The devil wants to tell you that once you've failed, your life is over. You can never be successful for God. You can never count for God. Your life's just washed out. But listen, successful Christian living doesn't wallow in failure. It learns from it. And it leaves the cause of that failure behind. And that leads to the, I suppose, what sums up the whole book of Joshua. The greatest detail of successful living for God is experiencing God's power to use us. That's the real meaning of success, the ultimate in this life. Knowing God's power. Being an instrument in God's hand. Being filled with God's Spirit. Being a means of fulfilling God's purpose. Jesus said to his disciples, ye shall be my witnesses. Ye be my witnesses. But how are you going to be that? How on earth are we ever going to be successful witnesses for Christ? You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the great mark of success. When Paul came to the end of his life, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. How could he say that? Because God's power enabled him. Do you remember when we were doing the study in Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 32 onwards? What shall I more say of Jephthah and Barak and all the rest of these? See the great list of things that they did for God. They subdued kingdoms. they wrought righteousness. Out of their own weakness, they were made strong. That's success. Some of them died. The world would say that was failure. But it wasn't. It was success. When George Wishart died in Scotland, a light went out. He had been preceded in martyrdom by Patrick Hamilton, a man of royal blood, but still murdered for the cause of Christ. George Wishart came, the greatest preacher Scotland probably had ever heard until that time. And as the gospel light began to shine, the forces of medieval Romanism in that barbaric country got scared, and so they quenched the light. It seemed an utter waste of a life of a young man of learning, a man of brilliant ability, a man who could have led the nation to greatness. What a waste to throw away his life in such a cause. Ah, no. Standing there was another man who was all that George Wishart was, only many times more. And through the fire that burned George Wishart, God kindled a fire in the heart of John Knox. And John Knox not only founded what we have as the nation of Scotland, not only founded in Scotland the Presbyterian Church that was the vehicle of revival upon revival, but which exported the gospel to Europe and to the Americas, and which set the very social, religious, and political foundation of this nation. You never feel when, even if it costs your life, you live in the power of God. Let me finish with God's final directions for success. We have read verses 6 to 8 particularly, where he commands him to obey the Scriptures. One thing is clear: what is not biblical is not successful. Young person, never forget that. If it's not biblical, it's not successful. Appearances may be very, very deceptive here. Remember Moses? The Lord said to him one occasion, "Smite the rock, and out of it will come water." Moses did it, and out came water. On a later occasion, the Lord said to him, "Speak to the rock, and forth will come water." Moses was so mad at the people, so full of bad temper and anger at that time, though the meekest of men, that he took his rod and he thrashed the rock. Now, he still got water out of it. But the Lord said, "Moses, you'll not be in the promised land. You'll not lead them in." There's a great significance in his smiting the rock the second time. That rock, Paul says, is Christ, represents Christ. He was smitten once. He never needs to die again. You speak to him to get grace, not, as the Pope would tell you, keep sacrificing him. He doesn't need to die again. There's a spiritual significance. But quite practically, can't you see the lesson? If it's not biblical, no matter what the appearances are, it's not successful at all. Some of you are being tugged in ways that are unbiblical. You can't look God in the face and defend what you're doing. But it seems to pay. It doesn't pay. It curses. What's not biblical is not successful. Sum up all that God said to Joshua. The key to successful living is the Word of God governing your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. He says to him, observe. The word observe means take heed. That means think. Think. Keep thinking. So many people are afraid to use their head. They think that Christianity ought not to be a matter of the head. Well, it shouldn't be only a matter of the head, but it must be a matter of the head. Some wit said that God has given you two ends, your head to think and the other end to sit. And according to which one you use most, you'll be successful or not. An awful lot of Christians are so afraid to use their head. Consider, take heed, let the Word of God get into your mind, take possession of your thoughts, and then let it govern your words. This word is not to depart out of your mouth. That's your public witness. In your relationships, on your job, in your home, with the other people, whatever the problem, let the Word of God govern your opinion. The world is full of opinions. You listen to radio every day, and there's this opinion, that opinion, the other opinion, and the world is being choked with human opinion. We need to know the Word of God in any matter. That's the standard. But not only let this word go out of your mouth, he says meditate on it. The word meditate there has the root idea of talk to yourself. One commentator I read said it means audible musing. Talk to others using the Word of God. Talk to yourself. I've often paraphrased a statement that I read years ago of Martin Lloyd-Jones. I can't even remember where I read it, but I remember I thought it was very, very insightful from a great preacher and a great pastor. My paraphrase of it is that people listen to themselves far too much and don't talk to themselves half enough. Now you think of it. So many people running around listening to every little voice of doubt and fear and worry, and they take those things so seriously. When what you ought to be doing is talking to yourself. Talk the gospel to yourself. Talk the Word of God to yourself. Talk Christ to yourself. Meditate. Govern your words. Then it will govern your deeds, that you'll do according to all that is written. That's the life to which the Lord has called us. That is true wisdom. It's what makes life worthwhile. It's real success. Let us not be sidetracked to run after another goal. Now, if you're going to do this, it's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you effort, but the reward is great here and hereafter. I leave you with two texts of Scripture. Think of them. Take them with you. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, receive me to glory. Psalm 84:11. The Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from them that walk uprightly. Listen, if you have God withholding no good thing now, leading, guiding, filling, and empowering, and then at the end, receiving you into glory, listen, you have good success. May the Lord teach us, everyone, successful Christian living.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.